Let's open our Bibles again, please, at Matthew chapter 4. And then let us ask the Lord once again for his help in the preaching of the Word. In preaching the Word, we need the Holy Ghost to attend to the Word of God. We read in the book of Ezekiel that the Lord commanded the prophet to prophesy to a valley of dead bones. And as the prophet prophesied and preached, bone came upon bone and sinew upon sinew. But it wasn't until the Spirit came down that life entered in and there stood up an amazing great army unto the Lord. And while the preacher can make known the Word of God, it is the Spirit of God attending to the Word that gives life to the hearts and souls of men. So let us pray the Lord, by His Spirit, will attend now to the preaching of His Word. Father, we thank You for the meeting thus far, for a sense of Thy presence, for hymns of substance, faith in the gospel. We thank You for the reading of Thy Word and how it sets forth the ministry of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we do pray that as Thou hast commissioned men to preach the gospel, Lord, I stand here not in my own strength or upon my own authority, but as divinely commissioned by the Lord. And Father, I pray tonight that the Spirit of the Lord will attend to the ministry of the Word, make it live in hearts, and cause men and women to live unto God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My text for this evening is found the first part of verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach. My theme is the preaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The verses that we read together record for us the commencement of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a number of very general lessons that this portion sets before us. The period of time when the Lord began His ministry shows us that God does not leave Himself without a witness. Our text highlights the fact that from that time, the Lord Jesus had not publicly preached beforehand. He was around 30 years of age at this time, and before this time, He had not publicly preached or proclaimed the Word of God. But if you look at verse 12, you will see that the time is significant for this and another reason. Now, when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, the word cast there has the idea of force. For around 18 months, John had been the forerunner of Christ. He was preparing the way of the Lord. He was proclaiming the Word of God and the kingdom of the gospel. But Herod took him at the request of his wicked and sinful and scheming wife, and cast him or threw him into prison. And the question might well be asked, well, would the work started under John the Baptist cease? And humanly speaking, it might seem that way. But when Jesus heard John was cast into prison, He knew the time had come for Him to publicly commence His ministry. And it reminds us that when the ministry of one comes to an end, either by persecution or illness or death, the Lord is well able to raise up another who will proclaim and preach the same message as the one who has gone before. The period of His ministry shows us that God will not leave Himself without a witness. But We notice also that the place of Christ's ministry teaches us that the gospel is for men from all nations. Do you notice where the Lord began his ministry? It tells us in verse 13 that he left Nazareth. I take that to be he left dwelling in Nazareth, because it says in the rest of that verse, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. He had been brought up, he had lived in Nazareth as a young boy and as a youth and into early manhood. But he left Nazareth and he dwelt in Capernaum. Tells us Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, in the borders of the tribal region of Zebulun and Naphtali, or Zebulun and Naphtali. Then it tells us in verse 15, I want you to notice this verse, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. That's where the Lord began his public preaching ministry, in Galilee of the Gentiles. It's the area to the north of the Sea of Galilee. And after Israel had been carried captive by the Assyrians, it had been populated by many Gentiles. And some of the Jews had returned there, the Israelites, and they mingled together with the Gentiles. But it was still known as Galilee of the Gentiles. And of course, the fact that Christ ministered there, in the place where Gentiles dwelt, right at the start of his ministry, he was, by his actions, saying, the gospel that I proclaim, the work that I have come to do, it's not just for the Jew. Oh, it's for the Jew first, but also for the Greek. It's for the Jew and the Gentile. It's for men of all nations. And it doesn't matter what nation a man is born in. It doesn't matter the tribe that he comes from. Jesus Christ came into the world for sinners of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. The gospel knows nothing of racism. The Bible teaches the gospel is for all men, and all who will receive and all who will believe can know and experience eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The period of his ministry shows us that God doesn't leave himself without a witness. The place of his ministry teaches us that the gospel is for men of all nations. The prophecy of his ministry reveals that he came to fulfill the law, the Old Testament law and prophets. Look at verse 14. Why did he begin his ministry in the northern coasts, in Zebulun and the tribal area of Naphtali? That it might, verse 14 says, be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And what we have in verse 15 is a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Where it is prophesied of the Messiah that his ministry would be in this region and he would bring great light to this region. And all right at the commencement of his ministry, we are taught that the Lord Jesus came not to destroy the law and the prophets. He didn't come to do away with the Old Testament. Rather, he came to fulfill. And he fulfilled it to the very letter, the jot and the tittle. He kept the law of God and fulfilled it in his life and proved that he was the promised Messiah. All that was promised, all that was written of the Messiah in the Old Testament, Christ fulfilled it. That's why we know, that's why we assert, that's why we believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, the Messiah, the only Savior of sinners, God's Son manifested in the flesh. He perfectly fulfilled all that was written of the Messiah in the Old Testament Scriptures. But then, we not only learn the period of his ministry, It shows us God doesn't leave himself without a witness. The place of his ministry teaches us that the gospel is for all nations. The prophecy of his ministry proves he is the Messiah. But the preaching of his ministry shows us and teaches us the way he communicated and applied the gospel to man. How did the Lord communicate the message of the gospel? Verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach. You'll see it further on down the chapter where it tells us in verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching the word, heralding forth, explaining, teaching, applying the word of God to men and women as God's appointed means for making known the gospel of Christ to sinners. And it's that lesson that I want to pick up on tonight. It is this part of his ministry that Matthew focuses upon in these verses. And it is what I want to speak upon tonight, the preaching ministry of Christ. And three lessons for us this evening about the preaching ministry of Christ. I want you to notice firstly the aim of Christ's preaching. Look at verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light sprang up. The aim of Christ's preaching ministry was to bring the light of the gospel where there was the darkness of sin. You see, men and women, darkness in the Bible, it is associated with and is the symbol of sin. It is associated with the kingdom of Satan, and it is also associated with the eternal punishment for sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, speaking of man as a sinner, Paul said their foolish heart was darkened. Sin has darkened the heart of man so that in his natural state and condition, born into this world as a sinner, he is in darkness. He does not see or understand his need by his own reasoning, his own logic, his own understanding. The God of this world has blinded, darkened the minds of them that believe not. Paul, writing in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, speaking to God's people, he said, ye were sometimes darkness. In other words, before you were saved, before you were right with God, you were in darkness. The darkness of sin. Sin, therefore, is characterized by darkness and blackness in the Bible. But I said also that darkness is associated with the kingdom of Satan. Again, writing to the churches at Colossae, it was the Apostle Paul who said in Colossians 1 and 13, he said, who hath delivered us? He's speaking about God's salvation. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. As Christians, we are citizens, we are members of the kingdom of God's dear Son. But he said, before you were saved, or when you were saved, you were translated to that kingdom. Before you were in the kingdom or under the power of darkness. And writing to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesus 6 and verse 12, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. And speaking about the demonic fallen powers, Satan and his host, he said they are the rulers of the kingdom of darkness. Men in sin, they are darkened in that state of sin, and they are in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan itself. The Bible goes on to teach us that the eternal punishment for sin that is not forgiven by the Lord and washed in the Savior's blood, part of the eternal punishment for sin is outer darkness forever. Jesus said in Matthew 8 and verse 12, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. My friend, if you're not a Christian, then your heart has been darkened by sin. You are in a state of darkness. You are under the power of darkness. And one day, if your sin is not forgiven by God and you do not turn from it unto God, part of your punishment in hell will be utter darkness forever. And you will notice in our text that the Lord Jesus was ministering in a place that was in spiritual darkness. The people which sat, isn't that? Notice the wee words in the Bible. Don't miss the little words. The people which sat in darkness, the Gentiles there in Galilee, those of the tribe of Zebulun and Naphtali, in the days of Christ's flesh, they were in spiritual darkness. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. And they were in darkness. Listen, if you are not saved, it doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter how socially advanced this world becomes. In a state of sin, you are in spiritual darkness. And those people in the day of Christ, it tells us, and I want you to notice that wee word in verse 16, the people which sat in darkness, they were sitting in darkness. When we think about sitting, you think of one who is at ease. You think of one who is comfortable. One who is, as it were, content. We get up during the day to go about our work, and we busy ourselves upon our feet about our business and about our work. And at the end of the day, we come home and we sit down. And it speaks of contentment. It speaks of being at ease. And do you see that man in his sin, in his natural state, is at ease and content in a state of sin and with his darkness? Jesus Christ, speaking to Nicodemus, said and concluded in John 3:19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if it isn't for Christ coming to seek and to save that which is lost, if it wasn't for the Lord providing the gospel, man all his days would be at ease and content and happy in his state of sin, because men love darkness rather than light. And yet into that place of darkness and among that people who were happy and content to dwell in darkness, Jesus burst onto the scene to preach the gospel and shine the light into darkened souls. That's the aim of his preaching ministry. What does verse 16 say? The people which sat in darkness saw great light. When Christ began to preach the gospel, they saw great light. That was the aim of his ministry. To shine the light of the gospel into darkened souls. And that's why Jesus came into the world. The light of the world is Jesus. I love that hymn. I probably would have sung it tonight, only it's very difficult to sing, and it's a tune that even I find hard to sing. You'll find it in the hymn book. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. He said in Jerusalem in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Men and women, Christ is the light of the world, and he came into this world so you don't have to remain in the darkness of your sin and under the power of darkness in the kingdom of Satan, or experience eternal darkness in hell forever. He came to shine the light of the gospel so that whosoever believeth in him should not abide in darkness. Christ is the light of the world, and preaching Christ brings light to men. Paul described the work of conversion, and he described it like this in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ. Christ is the light of this world. And I tell you, He came to dispel the darkness and to deliver men from their sin. The aim of Christ's preaching was to see men saved and delivered from the darkness and the kingdom of sin. And I tell you, that is our aim. It's the aim of this pulpit, the aim of this preacher, that as we proclaim Christ, men and women will see Him as the light of the world and the one they need to deliver them from the darkness of sin and the darkness of the consequences of sin. I want you to look again at Matthew 4. I want you to see not only the aim of Christ's preaching, it was to bring light to darkened sinners, but I want you to notice, secondly, the appeal of Christ's preaching. For it tells us in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How instructive. And I pose the question, how instructive was the Lord's ministry? Not only to sinners, but to the church. The Lord did not give theological lectures to those who were in ignorance and in the darkness of sin. But He expounded the simple, basic truths and requirements of the gospel, and He exhorted them to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what a pattern, what an example for the church and for every preacher to follow. For men and women who are in the darkness of sin, they need to hear the exhortation of the simple, basic gospel truths and their responsibility to them. The Lord cried and exhorted and appealed for them to repent. Repentance unto life, the Catechism tells us, is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. What is repentance? Repentance requires man to recognize their sin. It is a turning from sin. And if you're going to turn from sin, then first of all, you must recognize what sin is. The Lord preached against sin. He taught what sin was, that it was contrary to the law of God. It was a desecration and a breaking of the law of God. We, in fact, if you want to see the Lord's exposition of sin, you only have to read the Sermon on the Mount that follows in Matthew chapter 5. He said, men teach that if you don't, you're not to commit adultery. And He said, I say unto you, whosoever shall look upon a woman to lust after has committed adultery in his heart already. The Lord taught that we break the law in thought in our hearts by our words and by our deeds. He said, you've heard that it shall be said, thou shalt not kill. But if you hate someone in your heart, you're guilty of breaking that commandment. And He was teaching that no one could perfectly keep the law of God. The Lord preached against sin and He expounded what sin was. And if He exhorted men to repent, then He had to teach them what they were to repent of. My friend, if you recognize your sin, that you cannot keep God's law, either outwardly or inwardly in your soul, that you break it, Therefore, under God's law, you're condemned as a sinner to face the judgment of God for your sin. Oh, repentance recognizes sin. Repentance regrets sin. The Catechism talks about with grief and hatred turning from it. My, the repentant soul sees that sin is offensive to a holy God, our Maker and our Creator. The one who has given us life and breath and all things. The one who has loved us and sent His Son to die for us. My, that repentant soul sees that sin is grievous to the Lord and grieving the Lord, our Maker and our Creator. It grieves our hearts. And repentance not only involves a recognition of sin and a regret for sin, but a turning or a returning from our sin unto God. It's illustrated in the parable of the prodigal son. He took his inheritance from the father. He went into the far country. He squandered all that he had. And he realized that he'd sinned against heaven and against his father. And he returned. He left the far country. He left the fields of sin. And he returned unto the father to live under his discipline and in his ways. Repentance is a recognition of sin, regretting sin, and a turning from sin unto God to receive Christ and the mercy that is offered in Him and through Him by the gospel. Do you see that the Lord is saying, I want you to see this, just a couple of thoughts about repentance. Do you see the Lord is saying, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you need to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's near, it's brought near by the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word. And if you're to enter into the kingdom, you must repent. My friend, you'll be shut out of the kingdom if you don't repent. Except ye repent, Jesus said, ye shall all likewise perish. True faith, true belief in Christ is accompanied by repentance. I want you to see, not only if you're to enter the kingdom of heaven must you repent, but Jesus Christ Himself would appeal to you to repent. As He looked at those men from Galilee, Jews and Gentiles, He appealed to them. He exhorted them. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if God commands, as the Bible tells us He does, if God commands all men everywhere to repent, if in the days of His flesh on this earth, Jesus Christ appealed and exhorted men to repent, if the apostles preached and exhorted men to repent, then it is the duty and the responsibility of the minister of the gospel in this age to repent, to appeal to sinners today, to repent and turn unto the Lord. True gospel preaching that will enlighten and save sinners will include an appeal to turn unto the Lord in repentance. And tonight I appeal unto you. If you're in the darkness of sin, then I appeal unto you, repent and believe the gospel, that you might become a citizen of the kingdom of God and be translated from the power and kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The aim of Christ's preaching was to bring light to where there was spiritual darkness. The appeal of Christ's preaching was that men would repent and follow Him and believe the gospel. I want tonight, thirdly, to just show you the effect of Christ's preaching. When the Savior preached the gospel, He shone the light there in that region beyond Jordan, there in the north of Israel, northern regions of the Sea of Galilee. In Naphtali and Zebulun, I asked, what effect did it have? What was its influence? How did it affect men and women? It's interesting to note that when John described the Lord Jesus as the Son of God in John chapter 1, he described Him not only as the Word, but as the light. Yet it tells us in John 1 and verse 5 That the light shineth in darkness. That could describe the ministry of Christ. He was the light of the world, and he came into this dark, sinful world. And the light, may it shone in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. Sadly, John concludes, the darkness comprehended it not. There were many who did not comprehend or receive the light as the Savior shone the message of the gospel to man. Where was the Lord preaching? Well, verse 13 of our passage has highlighted that he dwelt in Capernaum, and it was in that region surrounding Capernaum and in Capernaum itself where the Lord began his ministry. Matthew chapter 11, verses 21 to 23, the Lord had to rebuke the city of Capernaum. He said, for though you're exalted unto heaven with the privileges of the gospel, yet thou shalt be cast down to hell. Why? The verses say, because they repented not. The light shone. The appeal and exhortation was given, and yet many rejected the light and did not repent. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 11 declared they would be cast down to hell because they rejected the light of the gospel. There were those who rejected. But as we read on in Matthew chapter 4, and we read it together, the Lord continued his ministry in Capernaum and in other places in that region. Look at what happened in verse 18 to verse 20. But he meets Peter and Andrew, and they're casting a net into the sea on the northern tip of Galilee. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It tells us, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. And he met another two brethren, verse 21, James, John, his brother. They were mending their nets in the ship with their father Zebedee. He called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. As Christ shone the light to these men, Peter, Andrew, and James, and John, while many in the cities, they rejected him. They did not comprehend or receive the light. As the Lord cried, follow me. These men, being called personally, powerfully, they left their all, their earthly employments and engagements, and they followed the Lord. What a picture of salvation. For my friend, if you're going to repent and follow the Lord, then everything else must take second place. You must seek the Lord and seek Him first and foremost. And they left all and they followed Him. Will you leave the paths of sin and follow the Lord? What a contrast we have. The effect of Christ's ministry. There were those who rejected it. There were those who received it. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, the preaching of the gospel to some, it was a savor of death unto death. To others, it was a savor of life unto life. My friend, if you see the light, yet you reject the light, it will be a savor of death and eternal destruction to you. But if, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, you receive the light and follow the light of the world, it will give you light eternal in your soul, everlasting life. And you will be a citizen of the kingdom of light, now and forevermore. I trust that as the ministry of Christ has gone forth tonight, the effect of Christ's word in your heart will be that you will follow Him and receive Him as your Savior, and repent of your sins.